Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Zach with True Wild. Zach, tell us where you're calling in from, first of all, and what you do for a living with this brand.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Calling in from sunny San Diego, even though it's not really sunny today. And yeah, brand is a better for you all natural supplements line. People who love outdoors and people who want to take care of their bodies from inside out.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. And so tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, how did you get involved in this space? And I mean, what did you notice out there in the market of things that you were consuming that like, you know, needed to change and was kind of like the impetus to creating this brand?
Yeah. So I guess backstory on me. We started this brand with my partner about almost 6+ years ago. And so at that time, we're big in the hiking, outdoor sports from like hiking, rock climbing, surfing, mountain biking, etc. And at that time, there wasn't really a better for you energy source for when you're going hiking, right? So if you're going hiking, what type of products do you take, right? Do you take 5-hour energy? Do you take a pre-workout? Do you drink caffeine, like a coffee? Like, you know, and all these like supplements are not really supplements for the outdoor space, right? For something that you need to face the wild with. And so we created a product for ourselves, very consumer centric. My partner at the time was working at a manufacturing facility. So he made some samples. We made some little bags. We went on this long hike with a friend, said, here's a bag, try this. And at the end of the hike, I still had energy and I was like, okay, I think we're on to something. And we launched this product on Amazon, sold out in the first 6 months. And then the past 6 years has been just really creating products around things that we love, that we take daily, and that we think that there's a void in the marketplace.
So what you kind of found was missing and like, you know, things like hiking or things that are kind of more like endurance centric, not so much like something you go and take like a bunch of pre-workout or like a quick boost of energy, like you're going to the gym to do like a 45 minute hard lift or something. You're looking for more like sustainable energy, something that'll last throughout a hike or maybe a long run or something like that.
Yeah. And if you remember, like 6+ years ago, there wasn't really a clean source of pre-workout. I think there was still that, like, you know, non-GMO, plant-based, vegan, those still like buzzwords, but like things are still made with artificial, right? And like high stimulant anaerobic caffeine source that really jacks you up, which is great. And like nothing's wrong about taking a pre-workout, going to the gym because you need it. But like for like an everyday consumer, you need to take, you know, 250 milligrams of caffeine, right? Right. So we wanted something that was like middle ground that everyday consumers could use without having that. Like, I know a lot of people love like that itchiness of beta alanine, right? And citrulline and that type of thing. Like when you're going lifting, but like a lot of the everyday Joes, they're like, I'm going to take this because someone told me to take it. And then they, you know, have these jitters and shakes and crash. And they're like, why did I do this?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so I guess to that point, I mean, tell me a little bit about what goes into making, I suppose, let's start with like the first product that came out. I know you have more than one now. With the first product, I mean, what kind of ingredients were you looking to, you know, put into kind of have this effect and kind of fill this void in the market? What kind of ingredients did you go with in there?
Yeah, I mean, and just going back to my past too, right? My dad's a doctor, mom's a nutritionist. So I grew around this like whole idealistic of like healthy eating, whole food approach. And so we wanted to take the whole food approach to our product. Mm-hmm. So biggest thing is something natural, clean, that's from the ground. And that was kind of like our building block of where we started.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And yeah, it's kind of funny in this space, we're going towards things that are maybe more like plant-based and things. Like so many brands I see out there, when I go to the grocery store, I try to find things that are plant-based, and I feel like it blew right past like the natural ingredients. I went full circle back to like the synthetic ingredients just to say that there's like no meat or soy or dairy or gluten or all these things in it. So it's interesting. And I mean, obviously I can see yours are obviously like all just like natural ingredients, but what kind of made you land on like the specific product? Just tell me a little bit about like your R&D and your product development for the initial product, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would like to say whole food, right? I think plant-based is getting a little chewed up a little now, but like whole food, right? Stuff. But I think a lot of it comes from my partner. I think partner in crime, he has 10+ years and like the science and formulation of dietary supplements. And so he was kind of like the brainchild with like the ingredients and the ingredient guru behind it all. But it's all, at the end of the day, it's, you can make amazing products, don't come from first try. So it's reiteration. So it's like making a product, adding things, subtracting things, taste profile, and then it comes down to the chemistry of it as well. And at the end of the day, it has to, like the three big pillars I tell people of making a great product, it has to taste great, right? It actually has to work. And you need to use high quality ingredients that people actually trust.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I suppose from the side of, I know you said you started selling on Amazon, sold out in 6 months. Is that still your main like revenue channel, just going mostly through Amazon, or have you kind of expanded into doing any wholesale or any like D2C through your own website, or what's the kind of breakdown of that look like here in 2024?
Yeah, it was 100% as our cash cow, right, for the longest time. And when I went full-time into this, my goal was to diversify and create the brand, right? And so now we're about 73% Amazon, right? And then there's the other chunk that's our own website on Shopify. We have eBay, Walmart. We have a bunch of other e-com sales channels. And then we do wholesale. So I brought on a guy to help with our wholesale approach. He's doing a, you know, an unbelievable job of just reaching out, you know, picking up the phone, calling as many wholesale accounts as you can and getting samples. Because at the end of the day, it's really difficult to go drive to all these places. So you kind of have to cold call. But our approach is like cold calling, but then sending, don't saying, hey, do you want to buy? But like, can we send you a free sample? Send them a sample. Have people, the thing is, people love our product when they try it. So it's like, how do we get our products in so many people's hands as quick as we can? And then following up and saying, hey, you got the product. What's your thoughts? We'd love to get our product in your store.
Yeah, that's amazing. And obviously you already had a proof of concept to kind of go into these conversations with your, you know, selling out on Amazon, these other online channels that you've been operating in. So that's a big step, and a lot of feedback I get from, you know, other people that come on the podcast. And I ask them, like, I'd love to hear your answer to this question too. Because I always ask, like, you know, if you can go back to the beginning, like, you know, what kind of advice would you give yourself or like somebody else like getting into the space for the first time? That's one of the biggest things that they say is, you know, have some kind of proof of concept, whether it's online sales or a wait list or something, before you try to have conversations with those wholesalers and retailers. It's really important. So yeah, that's awesome. And I guess, if you don't mind me asking, or if you can say, can you say what, you know, stores that you're in or any prospective things you're looking to get into in the future?
Yeah, so we're in Bristol Farms, our largest account, I think, in Southern California. So we're in 6 stores there. And then we're in 50 other like independent mom and pop stores, I like to call. And then we're trying to, listen, I would love to be in Whole Foods, Sprouts, Costco, Target, all these things, but it requires a lot of capital. And so I'm taking a different approach of it, is kind of building the base and then having them kind of come to us. If they find us on TikTok or social media and say, hey, we'd love, you know, buyers can always reach out and say, we love your product in our store. That's a better, I would say, approach than knocking on doors and trying to get all these massive distribution and hiring our team to manage it as well, right? Because people don't realize too, getting in retail is really expensive if you don't do it. If you scale too quickly, you can get burned by a lot of fees and just not really understanding kind of the retail strategy approach.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to have a lot of things in order and the capital to just kind of like maintain those relationships from an early stage. Because as you know, like, retailers can be very quick to kind of pull you or disqualify you in the early stages if it ends up going really well and they're looking for more, and you just don't have the either the money or the capacity behind you to produce more of like what they're asking for, which like obviously you want to do too. You get into a Target and they want to take you from 500 to 1,000 stores. You don't want to say no to that. So you got to have the capital to back up to, you know, increase production and things like that. Yeah. I think it's an important perspective for people to understand, like any, you know, prospective entrepreneurs looking to get into CPG or honestly in any industry where you might consider going through a wholesaler or retailer. It's really important. So I appreciate you sharing that. And so I guess, like, where are you kind of experiencing, or when you think about a retailer that you would potentially be working with, you know, what kind of parameters do you have as far as like, you know, what do you look for in a partner as far as like a retailer goes, or things like that?
Yeah. And I would say too, I think REI would be like our North Star. I think that would be awesome to be in too, just because it fits our brand. But like, I think I'm looking for a partner who's willing to work with us, right? I mean, I think a lot of these retailers look at companies as just a money sign. And like, to me, it's more of a relationship, partnership. Mm-hmm. How do we grow together? How do we like, what's our why at the end of the day? Like, why are we here? We're here to help heal and help our customers be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we collectively do that together? I think the biggest thing is communication. I think having the right partnership and then just being honest and transparent with each other.
Yeah, it can be definitely difficult to find with some of the same names, but I've heard feedback from some retailers where it's just a transaction. And if it doesn't go perfect, like, you're just gone, essentially. That is really important. I've heard some good things too about just certain retail, even national chains. If they're good relationships with good people, those companies are out there, but it can be very cutthroat though. You ever coming in from a position of maybe some kind of disadvantage where like maybe strapped for cash, or you can't always like meet the demands, and they do have all those fines and all that stuff. So again, it's an important perspective, I think, for people to understand. And, you know, a lot of people learn that the hard way. You know, it's one of the things I love to do in this podcast and have these types of conversations so people can kind of see that from the front side looking in, if they're looking to, you know, put 2 feet into a project for the first time. And then I guess, as you're thinking about obviously expanding into wholesale, it sounds like that's going to be, you know, one of your biggest opportunities for growth over the next year or so. What kind of things are you employing to continue to nurture your D2C sales as well? I mean, where are you experiencing the most growth there? I know Amazon was your first, and you kind of expanded into D2C through some other channels. Like, where are you experiencing the most growth on the D2C side right now?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, looking last year, we grew most on our website, right? So I think Amazon's going the wrong direction. Website's going the right direction. And I think it's just like the big thing there is building the community, the brand, focusing on like our social media a little bit more. And then like playing roots in San Diego has helped, I think, big time. do a lot of events here. I activate with a lot of other brands and partners. So that's really cool to see. And then doing a lot of like demos, so like in-person events as well. And so that's helped kind of grow the brand. And so it's doing a lot more events like that, being affiliated with either marathons or Ironmans or some of these like other bigger events.
Oh yeah.
To get like really the biggest thing is getting from the people's. I really think that in-person marketing is coming back, right? I know we had like during like COVID, I would say BC, whatever, how you want to make that acronym. But like a lot of that time, no one had that front facing. And I think it's coming back where people actually want to touch, feel, taste, and meet the owners of these brands as well. And so it's like, it has, if I can get in front of more and more people, I think a lot more people will resonate with the brand.
Yeah, I think you can see that both in in-person events that people are starting to get back to, but also in, you know, what people I think look for and resonate with on social media channels too, which is just kind of like transparency, like understanding who the people are that are actually making this stuff. And the reason people want to get away from these like very traditional, like very large companies who produce everything in the world. And like, you know, basically 2 to 3 companies is a lot of stuff you find in the grocery store is like 2 to 3 people producing all that stuff. I think people really resonate with that being in person, and also the types of messaging that you see on social media with just like hyper transparency almost in a lot of CPG brands where people just kind of film like half of their day every day and just post it, like actually like sharing like their struggles and the things they're going through. Like, no, it's not all perfect, but we're out here doing it. We're doing it for you. And we want you to be a part of it. I think people really love that. So, and that's definitely something I hear from others too. The in-person events have been huge the past couple of years for sure.
I would put it out there. I'd love to have like an in-person editor who'd follow me around and do that. Just a lot of time and effort, right? Doing myself filming something. A lot of these people that you see, they have a cameraman, someone behind the scenes who's actually editing everything that they do. But I would love to do more of that and be more kind of interpersonal and transparent all across the social medias.
Yeah, I think people really resonate with that. And yeah, I guess so. How much do you find like, you know, what is like your main driver to, I know you said your own e-commerce website has been kind of the biggest, you know, growth next to your Amazon's kind of going the wrong direction, unfortunately. Where are you finding like the most drive to your e-commerce site? Is it through your social media channels? Are you doing any kind of paid advertising, or what's driving people to the website, you think, more these days?
I would say mostly we're doing paid, right? So Facebook, Meta, Google, focusing a lot more on TikTok, right? And I think a lot of TikTok strategies that I have that are working, and email campaigns as well. Mm-hmm. But it's really trying to finding unique ways to drive traffic. So that's either by like doing brand giveaways on Instagram, doing a, like reaching out to a lot of other, I don't know what you would call them, like e-commerce sales channel sites. So other people who sell products, not on your own website, but that drives traffic to your site is good. But I mean, and then just doing kind of like more brand awareness strategies.
Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously you kind of have a pretty ideal customer. I mean, if somebody who's hiking or somebody who is looking to, like you talk about those events that you go to, it's definitely like a, you know, more fit-minded person who's doing maybe more like endurance kind of exercise rather than maybe like a straight up power lifter or something that like maybe is into like more like the pre-workout types. Yeah.
Sorry for jumping, but I also want that, right? So it's not like I'm passing a wide net. Mm-hmm. I started as like very narrow focus in that vertical of only outdoor enthusiasts. And then I realized that like there's not maybe a big market penetration there, but I want to look at everybody as a whole, but I want to be like the everyday individual who maybe doesn't know a lot about nutrition supplements. I want to introduce this to them as we've got something that's, you know, great tasting that actually works, that's affordable. Because I think a lot of these other brands are really expensive. They're complicated to really understand. The taste isn't that great. So I'm like really trying to be not just for the outdoor enthusiasts, but for like the everyday individual who wants to lead a healthy and clean lifestyle.
That's interesting. Your messaging is kind of moving away from like the outdoor advocacy route to more of like a lifestyle brand, more generally for minded people, more or less.
That and then having the aspirations of like taking the wild with, right? So it's
that's
like,
awesome. Yeah, I love that.
So I think it's like marketing towards the individual, that avatar. Mm-hmm. But also having the aspirations of like, the wild comes from within, and having the aspirations of like, go climb the biggest mountain internally within yourself. You don't have to be all-star Olympic athlete to take this product, but you can aspire to be doing that by taking our product.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And so I suppose like, how does that kind of resonate with, I guess I'm just curious, like, you know, on your socials and things, what kind of content are you currently posting on your socials? Is it more like informational, kind of like educational? Is it more like playful and like entertaining side of things? Or what's your general kind of like social strategy and kind of messaging you put out through those channels?
It changes. I have a bearish view on social media, mostly just Instagram in general, just because I think it's a walking billboard now. I think it's not what it used to be. I think 6 years ago, or maybe longer than that, I think 2013, 2014, it was not the Wild Wild West, but it was a platform for people to really engage and communicate with.
Yeah.
I think it's losing that. I think it's like, for example, if I post something, I think I'm losing 70% of my current followers. They might not even see it, right? So I think, in my opinion, people go to your Instagram page to have social proof, and that social proof is saying like, okay, yes, how many followers they have, who are they, and what do they stand for. Based off of it, I need to do a better job of that. I can be completely honest. And I just don't take a lot of time and effort for building a lot of social media. I would say TikTok's different, but like Instagram, I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram figuring out like the right strategy, because I don't think it's really getting the eyeballs it used to get back in the day. So on the negative side of that, I might be completely wrong there, but that's my belief.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, everybody's experience is different. I mean, that's why I always love to ask questions about those types of things, because, you know, people's perspectives on, and like even in very similar brands, I mean, some people sell through TikTok shop and they make a ton of money and a ton of growth there in like almost no time. And other people have a complete aversion to that platform for their own reasons. And I think it's kind of like a black box in many ways with those types of platforms, where it can be extremely cost effective and very low customer acquisition if you do kind of have some virality on social media. But they are changing, and they're changing rapidly, as you know, even in the past, like, you know, 6 to 12 months. You know, the advent of TikTok shop is not even been a year on there yet. Who knows if that's going to be around in another few months now after this news came out a couple days ago. So it's definitely a necessity for sure. But I think it's one of those things kind of like wholesale, where it can also be like pretty volatile. And like, you know, it's important to not put all your eggs in either one of those baskets for that reason, I think. So I think your kind of like omni-channel marketing approach, and with your retail streams, I think is quite sustainable as a model. And it's definitely what I find as like a common denominator with really successful brands and CPG, since I do so many interviews with them.
I also think we live in like a content creator market now, and like a virality, I guess that's the way of like things going viral. That's the way that you really pop your brand.
Yeah.
And like going viral. But the thing is, things are going viral for the stupidest reasons, but they're still getting impressions and eyeballs. So I really think that you need to create content that's going to go viral, because then people actually see it. And then viral doesn't be like, and the sad thing, like viral could be good or bad content. So I think it'd be really bad that goes viral that does well for your brand. So it's a very interesting approach.
It definitely is. And I see so many like social media campaigns kind of start with just like shock value content sometimes, just to like try to get that virality. And then like once they have a set following, they'll kind of go in and do like the real like messaging that they want like their followers to see, albeit, as you mentioned, anywhere from 30 to 40% of followers will really only ever like see or view that or have it come across, fortunately. So that's obviously a challenge too. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you too, I know I mentioned this question, I'm curious to hear, you know, your answer to this, which is, you know, if you go back to kind of like the beginning days of this brand, like even like right before launch, maybe go back and give yourself any piece of advice, business, personal, whatever, like becoming an entrepreneur, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
It's going to be a long road ahead. So buckle in. One, you're going to have good and bad days, mostly bad. So learn to deal with that. And then lastly, it's like build, if I had to start over again, it's like build the community first. Going on Amazon, I don't say it screwed us. I just think that like brands survive and thrive when they have a strong, united community, and that community will do anything for you. And so I think we lost some of that by going Amazon for the first 4 or 5 years, because on Amazon, you know, you don't collect any of that customer data. And so you can't retarget them, you can't remarket them, you can't find your avatars. I like started our brand 3 years ago, I would like to say. We went on our own website. So it's like a big piece of it, I think, is the community. So it's like how you grow a community. Think about, you know, day by day, brick by brick, Rome wasn't built overnight. So it's really having that like ideology of knowing that like it takes just win the day and then have some wins multiply over and over again that will then have like a long lasting effect.
Yeah, and I think it's great advice. And it's definitely something I hear as a common answer to that question, which is, and what I've learned doing so many interviews with people in the CPG space is like, it's a slow burn. And that can be a really good thing, because as you take the time to do direct customer feedback from the onset, and I hear similar things from, you know, people who try to get into wholesale too early on, or they do get into wholesale early on as like their first like big kind of sale, and people had to go through Amazon first. It's definitely a, like you said, like it didn't screw you in any way, but it, you know, it's just like, it's great in the early stages to have a more like direct community to be able to get that feedback and do, you know, the necessary changes before you get into a larger market like with Amazon and wholesale. And that's something I hear a lot. So I think you definitely have the right perspective on that. And it's great that you like kind of noticed that even though you're having a lot of success on Amazon and still decided that like, yeah, we still need to go back and kind of like get this more like intimate community going, even though we did have success on Amazon. So I think that's really good advice for anybody listening who's like either new in the CPG space or looking to get into. It's going to be a long road ahead. It's going to be a slow burn, but that's a good thing. You can have like even like small continued growth in those early years as you're doing development and things. I think you're doing the right thing. So yeah, Zach, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate your time and your insights. I love what you're doing with this product, and yeah, wish you nothing but good luck and continued success, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.